Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chaf. We begin with the brand new Mishnah, about 6-7 lines down from the top, Chaf Omer Aleph. The Mishnah begins, continuing the day of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. B'chol Yom, on every day in general, Tor Mimes HaMizbeach, we do what's called the Trumas Hadesh, and that's removing of a certain amount of ash that is on the Mizbeach and placing it on the side of Mizbeach with some Eitzel HaMizbeach, which was miraculously swallowed up into the ground. Now this was an obligation. This was when an avoda, there was a pious, there was a lottery to see which Kohen normally would do this on every day. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to do this. So b'chol yom, tor mimes ha-mizbeach, every day, normally the Trumas Hadesh would be done. And when would it be done? It would be done early in the morning, b'kriyas ha-gever o-sabuchlo. Now we're going to have a whole discussion tomorrow what kriyas ha-gever means. There will be two opinions, Rav and Rav Shela. Rav's opinion will be that kriyas ha-gever means when the person in charge of this responsibility to announce now is the time to do certain things. So this gather, this person, he would call out and say, now is the time to do the Trumas Hadeshen. So that's one interpretation. That's Rav. Rav Shela says, gever over here refers to a rooster when it goes cock-a-doodle-doo in the morning. At that time, around then, that is when a obligation to do the Trumas Hadeshen occurs. So this kriyas gever, osamachlo, or about then, is when the avoda of the Trumas Hadeshen will be done. Bein lefano, bein liachav. It could be a little bit before the kriyas hagever or a little bit after the kriyas hagever. We'll discuss this more in the Gemara. However, ubi yoma kippurim, on Yom Kippur, the Gemara will explain because we don't want to tire the Kohen out by having him do all the avodas together. So we move up the avoda to an earlier time. We allow him to do the Trumas Hadeshen already for midnight, mechatzos. The Gemara will explain exactly what we're concerned about, what the issues are. And ubi regalim, on the Shlosh Regalim, when there is a tremendous amount of ash piled up on the Mizbeach, that's the beauty of the Mizbeach, they would pile it up to a large amount. Guzma is used that it's 300 saw, which is a phenomenally large amount. And they would pile it up there to show all the korbanos that are brought. It was the beauty of the Mizbeach. So on the Regalim, they would do the Trumas Hadeshen even much earlier in the night, Me'ashmoru HaRishona. Marvin Brachus tells us in Machlokis whether the night is divided up into three watches or four watches. Here we go with the opinion Rashi brings down, Shibi Shlishis Halayah. This is the first third of the night. As Marvin Brachus tells us, the Gimel Mishmoros Heve Halayla. And we'll explain more in the Gemara. Rashi tells us, why these three opinions that we do it at different times in Trumas Hadeshen, by Kriyas HaGever, or by Chatzos, or by the first Ashmora, so what the rationale is behind that. So on the Shlosh Regalim, you'll have to do it earlier. The Lo HaSo Kriyas HaGever, my gas, and this Kriyas HaGever didn't occur, meaning by the time that it occurred, at the regular time, every morning, so then the Azar was already filled up. People were so excited about coming to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shlosh Regalim that there would be such a huge crowd there. So by the time that they started the day's work with the Kriyas HaGever, so already the Beis HaMikdash area was packed. Gemara starts and says, "Tnan Hosam." We learned in the Mishnah in Zvachim, it says, "Evorim shepaku me'al gabei mizbeach." The Evorim are the limbs of a carbon ola. So these Evarim, these limbs, are kolil toktor, they're totally put up on the Mizbeach, and the obligation is that they should get dried out and burnt on the Mizbeach, and if there's still meat left that's unburnt, then it has to be left on the Mizbeach to burn. However, once the meat has become a certain level of dried out, it no longer is a chiv if it comes off the Mizbeach, that you have to re-put it back on the Mizbeach, sometimes because of the fire crackling, so the little pieces of meat can fly off the Mizbeach. So if they still have basar on them, you have to put it back on the Mizbeach. If they're totally ash at this point in time, they don't have to put back on the Mizbeach. And the question will be, what happens if they're not fully ash yet, but there's not real actual meat on it, it's been burned, so then what is the chiyuv to do it? So the Mishnah in Zvachim tells us, these Evarim that flew off the Mizbeach because of the heat of the Mizbeach, because of the fire crackling, so call them chatzos, if it's before midnight, Yachzir, there is an obligation to put him back onto the Mizbeach. We'll see this based upon Psukim. Umalabhen, and since they still have an obligation to be Maktir, they still have an obligation to be put back on the Mizbeach, so their Avoda is not done, and therefore there's Me'ila. Once an Avoda is done, there's no longer a din of Me'ila, of usurping it from the Hekdesh. So here, there is an obligation to put it back on, so by definition, there still is an Isser of Me'ila. Liachah Chatzos, however, after Chatzos, then there is no longer an obligation if there's no Basar that's still on them, it's been dried out, it's like a coal, albeit it's not ash yet, so if it's after chatzos, lo yas, there is no obligation to return it to the Mizbeach if it's paku, if it flew off because of the crackling of the fire, they ain't marlin then, and therefore since the avoda is done, there's no obligation to return it, so there is no isser of me'ila at this point as well. Now, minohani mili, how do we know this? What's the basis of this din in the Mishnah in Zvachim? So we have two opinions. The first one we'll see is Rav. Minohani mili, how do we know that this is true? So Rav tells us, I'm a Rav. It's based upon a seeming stira in the two psukim. The first pasuk tells us, Kosev Echad Omer, Kol Halayla V'Hiktir. All night long, it has to be Hiktir, put up on the Mizbeach. That's one pasuk. This pasuk can be found the very beginning of Tzav, where it talks about the Korban Olah. It says, Hiho la amokido amizbeach kol halayla ad haboker. So there's a couple of words here that we're darshaning. Here we're darshaning the words kol halayla. So it has to be put up on the mizbeach all night long. In the next drasha, we're going to focus more on the words ad haboker, because kol halayla means ad haboker. Rab doesn't address that at this point. And he's saying this first pasuk tells us it has to be burned on the mizbeach kol halayla. So that means the Haktara seems to be all night long. But the second pasuk, right after that, because of Echad Omer, it says, no, it doesn't have to go up there. It says, Al Mizbeach Kol Laila Ad HaBoker. And then the next pasuk says, V'lavash HaKohen Mido Vad, U'michasei Vad Yubash HaBasaro, V'rimisei Deshin Asher T'chalwei Shesu Lo Al Mizbeach, V'samo Eitz Al Mizbeach. He goes and takes off the Deshin from the Mizbeach. V'herim Es HaDeshin. He takes it off the Mizbeach. And the words kol halayla go on this as well from the previous pasuk. So one pasuk says lahakdir v'hiktir all night long, and the other pasuk says v'heirim, seems to say that it doesn't have to be on the mizbeach all night long. So haketzad, how do you reconcile this seeming stira in the pasuk? So Rav says chalkeyu, go divide it up. Chetzio lahaktara v'chetzio laharama. Half the night is going to be for haktara, and half the night is going to be for harama. And what part of the night would be the break point? Chatzos. So before Chatzos, there's still a mitzvah of a hikdir. After Chatzos, if it's no longer baser, it's already burnt, albeit it's not ash, then you have the right to be the heirim mesadash, and you can take it off. If it comes off the mizbeach, you don't have to put it back on. That's Rav's drasha. Rav Kahana doesn't like this. Masir Kahana, Rav Kahana says, wait a second. He says, b'chol yom tarmim mesa mizbeach. We learned in our Mishnah. And it said every day there would be Torim the Mizbeach. They would do the Trumas HaDeshin every morning. When would they do it? The Kriyas HaGever or Samuchlo. They would do it at the time of the Kriyas HaGever, again, which we spoke about in the Bilba of the Mishnah. And on the Omid Beis, we'll discuss that more. So we'll leave that right now for just at the time of the Kriyas HaGever, either when the rooster crows or when the Machir is the person who makes certain announcements. So that's early in the morning. So the Kriyas HaGever or Samuchlo is the normal time to do Trumas HaDeshin. Now, it says a little bit, Bein Bilfada, Bein Ma'ach. It didn't have to be exact, but it had to be around that time. And we said, Ubi Yom HaKippur Mechatzos, you could do it in Chatzos already. Ubi Golem, he said, Me'ashmor Rishona, you could do it from the time of the first Ashmor, the night broken up into the three watches. From the time of the first watch, you already allowed to do the Trumas HaDeshin. And we turn to Yom HaBeis. Chof Yom HaBeis. V'yisolko Daitoch Mechatzos D'oraisuhi. Now, if you're telling me, based upon Rav's darshaning of the Pasuk, that you're allowed to go and do the Haktara up until Chatzos, and then after Chatzos, if it's already burned, you can take it. If it comes off, you don't have to put it back on. They rim, or you're allowed to even take it off and do the Trumas HaDeshin. So, Heichi Mikadminan. Now, we'll leave the parentheses aside for a second. Let's first work on the Heichi Mikadminan. How are you allowed to do it before Chatzos? If Rav's Droshes or Daraisa that says that you break up the night into two parts, half the night is for Haktara, Chatzeyu, Chalkeyu, half the night for Haktara, and half the night for Harama, so then how would you be allowed to do Heichi Mikadminan? How can you go and make it earlier? This understanding here is that if it's supposed to be the second half is for Harama, how are you allowed to do the Harama, the Trumas HaDeshin, before Chatzos? That's the essence of the question that Rav Kahana asks on Rav. Now, what about the gears of the Heichi Machrinan? So Rashi tells us over here, Lo Garcina, we're not goris that. However, Tosus says, in the top Tosus, Heichi Machrinan, he says, Rashi Lo Goras Heichi Machrinan, how could you delay doing it? Now, Tosus is working with the understanding that we normally apply the principle of Zrizin Makdimim Lemitzos. So therefore, if the Torah tells us that Chalkeyu, you have to divide it up, and Daraisa, you do the Haktara in the first half, and you do the Trumas HaDeshin in the second half, so how could a person delay doing the mitzvah? How can you tell me that every morning, the time of the Gever, the Hachrozes HaGever, Kriyas HaGever, that's when you do the Trumas HaDeshin? Are we saying intentionally we delay doing the mitzvah when you're supposed to? So therefore, Tosa says, I do agree with the Girsa of hechi machrinan. Venerally, the shapik garbas. It is making sense that even this man o kavua mechatzos, since the Torah tells us that this man is a chatzos, ve'elach or afterwards, so hechi mikadminan biregalim. The question of hechi mikadminan that we both agree to. Rashi tells us both agree. How can you move it up before then? That's not this man. But he also says, how could you on every day say that we specifically don't do the mitzvah of zrizim makdim lemitzos, shalolam hayu regilim litrom bikros hagever, that was the normal time to do it. Either samach lov ufana vomiyachlov, v'amai v'zrizim makdim lemitzos. And he brings a riot to this. He says, technically the carbon tumah could be done up until 4 hours into the day. They would do it the minute dawn broke. They would go and prepare and start doing it. They would do it from the very first moment. The Torah says you can do it. So, Tosos is goris the words, how can we delay it? Doesn't make sense. We shouldn't be doing it any time other than midnight. How could you say that the time is from the Kriyas HaGever? It should be as soon as possible from Chatzos. The carbon iron, however, explains why Rashi disagrees with Tosos and says the hechi machrinan is not a good question. Because he says the mitzvah's truma sedeshen is different. Sheesh inyan la'achra kol she'efsher. He says by the truma sedeshen you want to delay it as much as possible. Why? Because every second that the basar of the evarim is on the mizbeach, so it's more turning into ash. And therefore, shol kol shor, you're better performing the mitzvah of the Haktorah. And via doing this Haktorah for a longer period of time, you're making better ash. You're doing the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshin better. So it's not a question of Zrizim Akdim Lemitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah. You're making it better. And therefore, you let it stay on from Chatzos until the morning, Lichatchila. And that's why Hechim Achrinan is not a good question, according to the Korban Arah's understanding of Rashi, and the question of Tosus falls aside. In any event, that's what Rav Kahane asks on Rav. So he says it doesn't make sense for you to darshan in the pasuk to say midor raisa before chatzos. No, and therefore, how could you do it on the shoshu golem by the Ashmur Rishonim? That Rashi and Tosus both agree. That's a strong question. And then yes or no, the second question of hechim achrinan. So therefore, we come up with a different answer, not Rav's answer. Along with Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says this is the answer. The pasuk tells me, so any of the issue out of Boker, I know the words kol halayla all night long means up until the morning. So why does the pasuk have to tell me out of Boker? It says it's al mokdam mizbeach kol halayla out of Boker. That seems to be unnecessary. We know it's not even a necessary little tag in the Torah. So therefore, what is the drasha when it tells me kol halayla out of Boker? What does it come to teach me? So it comes to teach me that the Trumas Hadeshen has an additional Boker. That the normal time would be in the morning. But here it says, give like another morning. In other words, add an additional time period that you're allowed to do the Trumas Hadeshen. And Mistama, that would mean that you're allowed to do it during the nighttime at Chatzos. Hilkach. Therefore, based upon this, the rabbis have the halachic right to, based upon this pasuk, to say that at different times during the night, different needs during the year, you're allowed to do the Trumas Hadeshen. Therefore, b'chol yom, on a regular day, tor min es hamizbeach b'kriyas hagever o samach lo b'milfano b'milyachrov. On a regular day, it's acceptable, maybe like the understanding, Korban Aaron and Rashi, you want it to burn as much as possible, so you have the best deshen, so you can do the mitzvah Trumas Hadeshen every day, at the morning, around the kriyas hagever, a little bit before, a little bit afterwards, sakya, that's perfectly good. On Yom Kippur, B'Yom HaKippurim, because we're concerned, Dikachush, the Kohen Gadol, we're very concerned that the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing all the avodas of the day. The stomach of the Kohen Gadol wasn't a 20-year-old kid. He could have been an 80-year-old man. And therefore, we're concerned very much that the Kohen Gadol is going to get tired. So therefore, Avdino HaMechatzos, let him start the day earlier. Let him start at Chatzos. Remember, he's staying up all night. It's not like he's sleeping. So he's staying up all night. Let him start the avoda at Chatzos. Then he can rest, because he can't do the next avoda yet. So he won't get tired out from doing the Trumas Hadeshen. And then, Beregalim, the Nefisha Yisrael, Unefisha Korbanos, on the Shlosh Regalim, when there are many, many, many people there, and there are many, many, many Korbanos, so therefore, Avdino Me'ashmoris Rishonu, we start the Avoda already from the Trumas Hadeshen, from the beginning of the night, from the Ashmora Rishona. And that's why the Mishnah says, Kedektani Taima, as the Mishnah itself says, Lo Haiso Kriyas HaGeber Magas, the morning didn't start. Actually, saw Azara Malay Yisrael. The Azara was already filled. By the time the morning came, the Azara was already filled. Okay, so these are the two interpretations. Rav's understanding with the pircha on it, and then Rav Yochanan's understanding. Now the Gemara says, what does this mean when the Mishnah said, my kriyas ha-geber? What does the Mishnah mean when it tells us kriyas ha-geber, this calling out of the geber? So as I mentioned, we have a machlokes Rav and Rav Shela. Rav Amar means koro gavra. It means the person, the kruz, the announcer, would be machris. Some things in the morning, and therefore that was his job, and that's what kriyas ha-geber was, early in the morning. Rav Shela disagrees. Rav Shela Amar koro tarnagola. It means the rooster cock-a-doodle-dooly, the rooster crowing. The Mepharshim explained that the person in charge of announcing would be waking up the Kohanim and making sure that they're all getting to their places. It wasn't specifically an announcement for the Trumas Hadeshin. It was an announcement, the morning services are starting. And the rooster's crowing, so that occurred earlier than the man would be making the announcement, the Achroz HaZakruz. As the Meiri writes, Zman Kriyas HaTarnagol Muktom Harbe Lizman Kriyas HaKruz HaMun HaLizmanim. That this person who would make the announcements, so that was a later period of time. The rooster crows, and that is a much earlier period of time. As he says again, Muktam Harbe, it's much earlier. The Marami Pano asks a very famous question. He says, there's a Mishnah Mifureshis in Baba Kama that says, Ein Megadlin Tarnigolim B'Yushalayim Mipnei HaKotchim. It's improper to have raising of chickens in Yushalayim because of the concern of the Kotchim. The tarnagol is constantly going around in an ash. They're running around in dumps, and they may come into contact with the sherets, and they'll bring the sherets and leave them time in the kachim. So how are you allowed to have the mark of when you should do the Trumas Hadeshin by the roosters crowing when there are no roosters there? So Rami Pano answers, he says, no, you're not allowed to have wild chickens running around, but you are allowed to have, under a controlled basis, you can have tarnagolim in a chicken coop. That's not a problem. There's no such isser, and you're allowed to go and raise them and sell them for their eggs or for the chicken itself. And these chickens are the ones that they're talking about. So on this teretz of the Marami Pano, Yehuda Bachrach in the back of the Vilna Shas, so he says that that's the machlokas over here between Rav and Rav Shela. Rav holds that you're not allowed to have chickens there no matter what. And Rav Shela seems to hold like this Marami Pano that says, yes, you could have chickens if they're domesticated chickens in a chicken coop. We now have a very interesting maisa. Rav, who was the Gadol HaDor, he was greater than Rav Shela. So Rav, Ikla Liasrei, the Rav Shela. Once Rav came to Rav Shela's shtot, he came to the town where Rav Shela was the Rav. And Rav Shela was giving shir. And Lo Hava Amora Lemeka Malei, the Rabbi Shela. The way they used to work it in those days was that the Rosh Hashiva would give the shir, but he didn't yell it out to the entire crowd. He would have the Maturgaman, the person that would be the shir announcer, who would hear the shir from the Rav, from the Rosh Yeshiva, and he would publicly yell it out to all the people. That was the custom that they had. This day, the Mora, who would be announcing for Rav Shela, the Maturgaman for Rav Shela, didn't show up, and there was nobody there to say over the shir. So come Rav Ale, so Rav went up there and says, it's not below my dignity to go and be the Maturgaman, the announcer, the Amora, that would go and announce the shir that Rav Shela is giving. Now Rav Shela did not know Rav by face. He didn't recognize him. So when Rav went up there to be the Maturgaman, he said, fine. We call Mepharish, my kriyas hagever. And when Rav Shela was giving the shir, and he was explaining this Mishnah here, and he's saying that you do this at the time of kriyas hagever, so when Rav said it over, kara gavra, he said that kriyas hagever meant that the kruz, the announcer, went and said to the Kohanim, get ready for the avoda, around that time is when they did the Trumas Hadeshin, a little bit before, a little bit afterwards. So Rav Shela heard him announce this, and he told him, Amalei Rav Shela, V'lei Mamar, why are you translating it as Kriyas HaGever? You should have translated it as Kara Tarnagola, that the rooster crows. The roosters, when he goes cock-a-doodle-doo, that's the time that we go and start the Trumas Hadeshin, a little bit before, a little bit afterwards. So Rav says to Rav Shela, Amalei, he says, Abov L'chore, a flute, which is a very fancy musical instrument, is when people who are chore, people who are high society, so they like listening to such a fruit, and for them it's zemer, it's a beautiful sound. As Rashi says, the b'nei chorim, the free people, the great important people, this is zemer, nor of ore. Listening to a flute is a beautiful sound. However, legardai, the weavers, a weaver is a low-class person, doesn't really like listening to classical music. He doesn't like listening to a flute. Lo mekablu aminei, they won't like it so much. So Rav is telling Rav Shela, listen, I'm saying over this pshat that I said over in front of B'nai Chori. I said it over in front of the great Rabbi Chiya, and he loved my pshat. In other words, he loved listening to my flute. But you're like a weaver compared to him, and you don't accept my pshat. You don't like listening to my sounds. So that's what he said to him. When I was the Meturgeman for Rabbi Chiya, when I was the Amora saying over the Shia for Rabbi Chiya, my Kriyasa Gever, and when he said over this Mishnah, and I explained that if Kriyasa Gever means Koragavra, that the Kruz, the announcer, I'm in Shkolim, we learned that there were 15 people that were Mamuna, and one of them was the Kruz, the Machriz, that, to tell the Kohanim to wake up, and I said over this Pshat in front of him, below Amrli, below Midi, and Ruchia didn't say, why don't you say the calling of the rooster? He said, Yashikayat, that's the right Pshat. But you, Rav Shila, that, honestly, you're telling me to go and read it and say it over as the calling of the rooster. So now Rav Shila realized that this was Rav. So Amalei, so he says, Marni Rav, you are Rav. You're much greater than me. It's possible for you to be my Meturgeman, for you to be the Amora that is saying over my Shia. Deinach Mar, please go back and don't let me use you. It's inappropriate for the Talmud to use the Rebbe to be the Meturgeman. But Rav told him, no, I started the job, I'm going to finish it. Amalei says, Amre Inshe, people say, the popular aphorism, if you rent yourself out, if you are working for somebody else, so then puts Amre, then if he asks you to even do degrading work, you do degrading work. So it's okay, I, so to say, accepted upon myself to be your Meturgeman, to be the Amora that's going to say over your Shia, so I'm going to finish it. That's version one, Ika de Amre, or alternatively, this is what Rav said to Rav Shila, Hochi Amalei, Malim Mekod Shalom Aridin, you're only allowed to go up in Kedusha and not go down. Whoever's going to replace me is going to be lower than me. Rav was to go to Ladar. So therefore, it's inappropriate that Yeshia starts off with me and then it should be continued with somebody else. So therefore, because of this principle, Malim Kodesh, that the Torah gets more dignity by me doing this, to have somebody of a lower stature come in would be a pagam, a lessening of the Kavodat Torah. Okay. Bottom line is, they have two different opinions. Rav Shila, while he was subordinate to Rav, was entitled to his own opinion. So Rav held that it meant Kriyas HaGever meant the Kruz would be announcing it, and Rav Shila held that the Kriyas HaGever was the Tarnagol crowing. So Tani Kavasi the Rav, Tani Kavasi the Rav Shila. We have a Braisa that says exactly like Rav, and we have a Braisa that says exactly like Rav Shila. We're going to finish off today the Braisa and a little bit of a side about Rav, and tomorrow in the Shia we'll have the Braisa that is in support of Rav Shila. So we start off, Tanya Kavasi Derav. The Braisa says as follows, Givini Koroz Ma'omer. Givini was the name of the Kruz. Again, I mentioned previously, we had this a couple of times in Shkolim, that they had certain people that were the original ones that did this, or the greatest one that did this, and thereafter that position was named after that person. It's like saying Paro. Havdil Elif of Dolos. So Paro, the first Paro was called Paro, and every Paro after him, every king after him was known as Paro as well. So therefore, the first or most important Kruz was known as Gvini. So therefore, Gvini Koroz Ma'omer. This Gvini, what would he say every morning to wake up the Kohanim? He would say, Imdu, wake up. Time to get up, everybody. Kohanim Lavodosem. The Kohanim, you have to get up to do your Avodah. And Levim, you have to go up to do your Avodah. Ledu Chanchem. The Levim would sing. The Kohanim would do the Avodah. The Levim would sing during the various parts of the Avodah. V'Yisrael L'mamadchem. And we know that these Korbanos Sibur were on behalf of Klai Yisrael, so when a person's Korban is brought, so he has to be there. So these people from the Yisrael were also divided up into the 24 Mishmaros, just like the Kohanim Levim were, and they used to have people representing Klai Yisrael go to the base of Migdash, as well as they had them throughout Eretz Yisrael. This was the Ma'amados. We've discussed this previously. They would do certain lanings, they had certain additional things that they did during the week when they were on call. In any event, so the Gvini HaKruz would announce to everybody, everybody get to your jobs, Kohan to your jobs, Levim to your singing jobs, and to Yisrael to be the Mishmar that's on call, watching as the Korban Tzibur is being brought to your Maimon. Vayakolu Nishma B'sholosh Parsos, and he would make this announcement in such a loud voice that it could be heard three parsa away. Again, a parsa is 4 mil, a mil is roughly a kilometer, so 3 parsos is 12 mil, or roughly 12 kilometers away. That is a very powerful voice. That's how far away his voice could be heard. And one time it happened, Maaseh B'Agripas HaMelech. Agrippus was one of the kings towards the end of the Bayis Sheni. He was a person who was in some ways considered very positive, but in other ways he wasn't, because he was a ger, and he wasn't allowed to become the king. In any event, Agrippus HaMelech heard this Cruz, this announcer, Shoyababa Derech, he was once going on the road. Vishama called Bishalish Parzos. He was 12 kilometers away. He was 3 pyros away. And he heard this voice, and he was so impressed. Ukshabala Beso. And when he got to his house, Shigur lo Matanos. He was so impressed that he had such a powerful voice, so he sent them Matanos. The Gemara says, as an aside now, Biafal P. Cain, even though, wow, this was a very impressive thing that Kvini Akruz was able to be heard 3 parasol away, that was nothing compared to the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Meshubach Mimenu. The Kohen Gadol's voice was heard even a further distance away. The Amar Mar, because we learned in the Braisa, Ukvar Omar, Onna Hashem, when the Kohen Gadol said, Onna Hashem is part of the Avodah Yom Kippur, his voice was able to be heard even further away. V'nishma kolo b'Yericho. His voice was able to be heard in Yericho. Now Yericho was very, very far away. V'yama Rabba Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Chana said, in the name of Yochanan, Omer of Yochanan, Yerushalayim to Yericho is eser parse. The distance from Yerushalayim to Yericho is 10 parse. Again, parse is 4 mil, so this would be 10 times 4. That's 40 mil, roughly 40 kilometers away. And yet, the voice of the Kohen Gadol was able to be heard all the way in Yericho. So that puts to shame, so to say, Gvini Akruz, it could only be heard at 3 parsa, which is extremely impressive to be heard at 12 kilometers, but that's still not as impressive as able to be heard at 40 kilometers away. The Alpha Gab, and even to make this even more impressive, the Akav of the Hocha Iko Chulsha, Gvini Akruz woke up after a good night's sleep and was a robust person, and he wasn't weakened by fasting. So his voice still carried only 3 parsa. And yet the Kohen Gadol, who was weakened by fasting, his voice was able to carry 10 parsa. So that makes it even more impressive. Furthermore, to make it even more impressive, when Gvini Akruz did it, it was really the end of the night. So everything was very quiet. So a voice carries very far when it's quiet. However, the Hocha Yamama, when the Kohen Gadol did it, that was the middle of the day. And by Gvini Akruz, well, also Laila. So it makes it much, much more impressive to say that the sound could be heard 10 parsa when it's during the day, as opposed to only 3 parsa when it's during the night. So it's even more impressive. And we know that this is true. The Yomer Reb Levi, that Reb Levi said, Bipnei ma ein kolo shel odom nishma bayom kideo shenishma b'layla, that we know voices don't travel as far during the daytime as they do at nighttime. Now, the simple understanding is that nighttime is very, very quiet, so the voice can carry further. During the day, there are many other sounds that can, so to say, nullify the sound. But here he goes into a metaphysical explanation, which we're not going to understand, although I'll bring down some interesting ideas from various mefarshim. So he brings down, Mipnei galgal chama, the wheel of the sun. As the sun rotates or turns through the sky, it makes noise, so to say. This is a metaphysical noise. Sheminaser borakia kichorosh haminaser barozoi. As the sun goes through the sky, as it quote, moves, we know that the earth moves around the sun, but from our position, it looks as if the sun is moving. We say the sun is over in the east, then the sun is in the west. No, it's the earth that's rotating that's making that appear. But from a pure point of view from the earth, it looks like the sun is moving. So the sun moving through the sky is like a carpenter that is going and making sawdust. And we'll see this expression in a moment from Psukim in Daniel. So that's the sound over here, is this movement of the sun through the sky. V'hai chirga, this chirga, which Rashi in Daniel says is ava kanira bashemesh. These are like those little pieces of dust that you see. Sometimes in a stream of sunlight, you can see little pieces of dust. So that's what Daniel says is this chirga. V'hai chirga diyoma lo shemei. This chirga, these dust particles of the sun during the day, has the name Law, nothing, Gornished. That's its name. As Rashi points out, Kain Shemo, Loshon In, nothing there. It's not substantive. V'hainu d'kom in Nebuchadnezzar, likewise Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel, V'chol dayare ara kilo, it should be, not kolo with an olive, should be with a hay, chashivon, it's also felt to be nothing. As Nebuchadnezzar relates in Daniel, says all the people of the world called Dayari Ara, everybody who's dire in this world, everybody who lives in this world, as if they're nothing. Kila, as if there's nothing, Chashivan. In any event, we see over here that the sound that the Kraw makes is talking about Gvine Kruz, the announcer makes. So this is the Tanya Kavose to Rav. Now we'll go a little bit more in the Gemara before I try to give an explanation. This is a very esoteric Gemara and cannot be understood literally. And the Gemara has a further aside. It says, Tana Rabbanan, we're learning a Braisa. Umwale galgal chama, if it wasn't for this wheel of the sun, that the fact that the sun rotates through the sky, nishma kol hamona shoromi, the sound of Rome could be heard if it wasn't blocked out by the sounds of the sun. And likewise, v'moli kol hamona shel Rome. If it wasn't for the sounds of Rome, so then nishma kol galgal chama. Then we'd be able to hear the sounds of the sun. So this obviously is very problematic, because what would you do before Rome and after Rome? So some of the Mefarshim address this and say it doesn't literally mean here Rome. It doesn't mean the Romans. In the simple words, understand it means the sounds of the secular world. And that will be the way the Ben Yehuda really understands this. The Ben Yehuda says it's all Derech Remes. And he writes that the Galgal of the Chama is a reference to the call of the Torah. And the call of Romi is a reference to the call of the secular world, of things that aren't Kadosh. And he says that the Kedusha of the world has the ability to make unimportant all the secular things of the world. And then, if we can do that, so then all you'll hear is the Kol Torah. All you'll hear is the Kedusha of the world. But on the other hand, you have so many secular forces, so they come to diminish the Kol of the Torah. People think, mistakenly, that that's something that's important, right? People will spend hours and hours doing some sort of a recreational event. There's nothing wrong with doing a recreational event, but that can't be your whole life. So you're entitled to have some time off, but if a person makes that the priority in his life, all he does is the recreational things, or Rachmana Litzlan, worse than that, so then that's the Kol of Rome subduing the Kol of the Chama, which is the Kol of the Torah. That's the beautiful way the Ben Yehuda understands this Gemara. Yakedus Yitzchak has a similar understanding. He's saying these are competing forces in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. He says, the pasuk says, HaShemayim Misaprim and Yom Yom Yabia Omer. So what does this mean? He says that Malchus Romi Hoyso Mishtadelis B'chol Oz L'Havim Mimshalto Yisbaruch Min Olam. That Rome, representing all that's evil in the world, is constantly trying to destroy everything good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. U'lashkiach Shmo, and to make people forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and Lahamsi umnus nifsados, and to do all sorts of things that are a waste of time. And that's why Chazal say over here, Yomole kol hachama hamalamin alabriya, hoyakol hamuna shel romi matzliach lashkiach legamri chas shalom shem Hashem. If it wasn't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the ideas of the Torah and put in people that do good in the world, so the power of Rome would eradicate the Shem Hashem from this world. Similar idea to the Ben Yoyod. In any event, the Gemara continues with another brayso. Tana Rabbanon, Shalosh Kolos Holchin Meisof Olam Yatzofa. There are three sounds that go from one end of the world to the other. Again, this is a metaphysical idea. Ve'eluhein, what are these three sounds? So we already mentioned two of them. Kol Gal Gal Chama, that's the wheels of the sun turning, and the Kol Hamuna Shel Romi, that's the secular world's noise, the sounds of Rome. And then the third one is V'kol Neshama B'Shosh Yosem Guf. That's the sound when a person's neshama is taken from his guf. So it says by tzaddikim that it's like taking a hair out from milk. There's no pain whatsoever. But when it's a person who is immersed in gashmius in this world, and the person, his neshama, has been trapped in this world, so to pull the neshama, which is kedusha, from the gashmius and the baseness of this world, so that emits a great sound. And that sound can be heard going from one end of the world to the other end of the world. And then there are those who say there's a fourth sound, the yesh omrim af leida, also the sounds of a woman giving birth, and we turn to chaf aleph amud aleph. That is a very powerful sound, the woman giving birth. And then finally, the yesh omrim also af ridya. What is this ridya? So Rashi tells us, in the top Rashi, malach hamamuna al hashokos ha'oritz. This is the malach that's in charge of rain for the world. Mimator ha'shamayim mimal, u'min ha'tohom mitachas. In charge of the rain coming down from the sky and from the rains coming up from the wellsprings of the earth. Rashi brings down psukim to say that this is a sound that's somehow similar to sound of an ox plowing. In any event, the Gemara then finishes and says, u'bor rabbonin rachme. The rabbis pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rachamim on this neshama when it leaves the body, and neshama b'shosh yosef min haguf, and ubatlua, and it no longer makes this sound in general. When the neshama leaves the guf, there isn't this sound that's heard all over the world. Again, this is a very esoteric Gemara, and this really concludes the discussion of the Tanya Kavasi the Rav, and we'll stop over here. So we have the braisa that supported Rav saying that the kriyas gever meant a person being machriz. I thought originally we wouldn't get a chance. Well, let's do the next little piece. We have time. So, Tani Kavasi Rav Shila. We have a braisa in support of Rav Shila that says it's the Tarnagol. Hayosi Ladera, Kodim Kriyas HaGever. If a person goes out in the morning before Kriyas HaGever, so Domo Berosho. You shouldn't travel at that point in time because it's still dark outside and the Shadim have all sorts of Shlita there, as Rashi points out. That Mipnei HaMazikin, if a person goes on the road early in the morning, so he's putting himself at risk. Now Rashi adds a word, he says, Hayotze Derech Yechidi, and this is based upon the Masoros HaShas tells us, Masechta Derech Eretz, in the 11th parak over there, and he points out that this is in accord with the Gemara that we learned previously in Brachos, where it tells us that when a person goes out at night, he should always go out with somebody else, that in general, the Shadim don't attack more than one person. If there's two people or more, Shadim in general don't attack. There are exceptions to that rule as well. In any event, he has Domo Barosh if he goes out alone at night. Rabbi Yoshio Omer, Rabbi Yoshio says, Achi Yishne. That's true until the gather is Mishana. It repeats itself. In other words, it crows again. V'yeshomrim, Achi Yishalish. Until it crows three times. If it crows three times, so then there isn't a concern, then already the Shadim no longer have Shlita. That's not called at night. So if a person goes out before the Kriyas HaGever, Domo Barosho, and he shouldn't wait to go out, according to Rabbi Yeshia, he should not go out until it crows a second time, or some say even a third time. Ubeiz HaTanagol Amru, what type of Tanagol are we talking about? Tanagol Bein, the average size Tanagol. And Rashi explains, Shenu Mamar Kriyaso Lo Mayachar. It doesn't crow too early, it doesn't crow too late. So this is a brice that it clearly says that this Kriyas HaGever, if a person goes out before Kriyas HaGever, it's talking about the Tarnagol, and that's the Tanya Kavosi to Rav Shila. With this, we conclude today's share.